On Sunday, May 19th at 11 p.m., Sugar and My Bowl will continue to honor Renaissance woman Abby Lincoln on the heels of pianist Mark Carey's recent Harlem stage events. This special originally aired in October 2010. Join us as we do our part in an effort to help continue this listener-supported experiment. That's Sunday, May 19th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
And you are indeed listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. The name of this program is... You know it. What's it called again? Let's see. Help us out, Nina.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
That's right. That Sugar in My Bowl, that's what you're listening to. My name's Joyce Jones, and we are going to honor Abby Lincoln. As a matter of fact, we're going to listen to Mark Carey, who is a pianist with Abby Lincoln for 12 years. I was able to catch him at the Blue Note last night when he was with Will Calhoun. But anyway, we're going to hear from his pre-release for Love of Abby at some point. But yeah, Stay tuned. We're going to honor Abby Lincoln. Always.
I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. My bow.
My name's Joyce Jones, Sugar in My Bowl, and I'm here with
Mark Carey.
Thank you so much for allowing me to chat with you in between sets.
It's my pleasure.
The reason why I'm chatting with you is you were at Harlem Stage.
Yes.
And you were involved in a tribute to Abby Lincoln.
Yes.
What was the motivation for that, and how did it come about happening?
Well, I'm very motivated by the music of Abby Lincoln. I always have, from the first time I personally heard her music, especially live. I had the good fortune of playing with her for a period of 12 years. And I was fortunate enough to record a solo piano record featuring all of Abby's music.
The one that was just released on Motema?
It's not actually released. Those are pre-releases right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's released June 11th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is the name of the release?
It's called For the Love of Abby. And so in that spirit, I did this performance at Harlem Stage, which I was commissioned to do by the Harlem Stage for the Jazz Shrine series. And had incredible musicians with me. Four vocalists on the second night. It was two nights of celebration. The first night starting with my trio featuring Latasha Diggs on poetry. And we found some very obscure, well, actually, I think most of Abby's stuff is obscure, especially in the poetry realm. Not too many people have really delved into her stuff yet. So we went in the crates and pulled out some really beautiful gems that expressed very much what was going on in her mind.
Right. Well, there was one, actually, that I had shared with Latasha from Confirmation that was edited by Amiri and Amina Baraka.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, yeah. And then the second night, I had featured all the music of Abby with vocals and featured Maggie Brown, Oscar Brown Jr.'s daughter, Payang Threadgill, Henry Threadgill's daughter, Kayem Ade, a good friend of mine that I've known for years and done several records with, and then the wonderful Imani Uzuri. And it was just an incredible night of music, and it was beyond anything that I could imagine coming from myself. So that's the beauty of having interaction with great musicians and great vocalists and great people, artists in general.
So playing with Abby, what is it that really stood out for you about playing with her or the experience of working with her?
Well, it had many, for 12 years, you know, you think of a relationship. So it had its ups and downs, and it had its incredible points and some very low points that in retrospect were probably very high points as well, you know. But, you know, as you're going through things, you have an opinion because you're observing yourself. But coming from this perspective, looking backwards, I'd say everything about it was incredibly beautiful, and it was just a lesson that is unraveling. Like, there's so many layers. It's like, you know, some kind of pastry, you know, those puff pastries with the layers. Yeah, man. It's just like you keep peeling them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the things she said just stick in my head so much. I tell you, the experience can be summed up by saying that there were nights where I'd ask Abby, you know, how you feeling? She said, I don't know. You know, I'm feeling how I'm feeling. And, you know, but then she'd say, you know, I'm not going to try for nothing tonight. And that would happen on nights where maybe her voice wasn't in really good shape. And even on nights when her voice was in, well, she never knew until she opened her mouth what it's going to be. That's why she said she wasn't trying for anything. And that lesson really taught me about allowing things to happen and to be a part of it instead of trying to make something happen. So, you know, when you put a prayer on it saying, you know, oh, we're gonna slam tonight and things like that, which in another school that works. But in Abby school, it was like, really? How do you know? I mean, you know, why are you putting that on? Maybe it's not that kind of night. Maybe it's this kind of night. Either way, don't fight it and don't try for nothing. So when you do that, you can be very surprised at what your capabilities are, what you react to, how you react to things that happen musically or not. It could be something triggered from the audience. But when you have that openness and the ability to listen, which is one of her songs, Learning How to Listen, you'll be surprised beyond your imagination at what can happen. So that's been the practice for me.
What is it that you want people to remember about Abby Lincoln?
I think Abby did it herself. I'd just say that some of the gems she dropped on us were just incredible. And that if you remember her name, that's a prayer, you know, and we got to keep our ancestors and our elders up high, you know. So if everyone remembers the name of Abby Lincoln, the history of her will remain and will live. And her music and her words are there to be dealt with. So I would just say, remember her name and remember her music and her words, because that was her prayer.
Thank you so much, Mark Henry.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Is like a song to sing with measured beats and phrases and bended notes and some repeats.
music through the ages that brings the highs, the lows, the swells. Sometimes it's for an ending, bringing other songs to sing, ascending, descending. I'm learning how to listen, how to hear a melody, how to hear the song I'm singing, how to feel. Shining golden wings that whispers in the lover's ear and dances when it sings and sings a variation on an everlasting theme. It's either love or sorrow on the scene. Songs I name and sign, and claim as a possession, and say that they are mine. 'Cause everybody knows that songs come from my love, the blue. And I'm learning how to hear the changes too. I'm learning how to listen to the rhythm of the night, how to keep it simple, how to make it sweet and light, smooth and free and easy, or slamming in the jam. And oh, for just a moment, the music that I am. how to feel and let it be. And listen for the song, knowing how it goes. And listen for the melody that flows. And listen for the melody that flows.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is indeed the name of this program, and we are honoring Abby Lincoln. We just heard from, indeed, Abby Lincoln, from Holy Earth, and that was Learning How to Listen, as referenced by Mark Carey. That was Mark Carey on piano, and John Ormond on bass, Alvester Garnett on drums, and the super wonderful, fabulous, great former Sugar My Bowl guest, Bobby Hutcherson, on vibes. And Abby Lincoln on vocals. And let's see, I was going to do something else. I just got caught up in the song, and I was listening. So, let's see. This is what I want to do. Since David Kenny ended the program that way, as I mentioned, the exchange was with Mark Carey, who I have on in the background here, from the preview for The Love of Abby. And, yeah, I caught him last night when my associate producer, I always fault, you know, sort of go back and forth between executive. I actually mean associate and web guy, Hank Williams. We went to see, wait a minute. Oh no, wrong one. Hey, we'll listen to this anyway because it's Maggie Brown and, Abby Lincoln. And I'll shut up. I'll come back after this.
Send you to. Rides your brain. It's the jewel of a pearl. Makes you go insane. And it's supposed to be love. Yes, it's supposed to be love. Well, it's supposed to be
something dark is going on, going on for years.
Body slam your partner down, up against the wall. It's a sad and scary
something of a legend, Abby Lincoln. In the long chain of musical creativity that characterizes black American musics, and increasingly American music, jazz has played a pivotal role. Although it is now the stuff of college radio and concerts for the well-heeled middle-class intelligentsia, there was a time when it was a radical and indeed a revolutionary music, carrying within it the seeds of rebellion and protest. Among the artists who personified these attributes were the drummer and composer Max Roach, 1924-2007, and his beautiful, talented wife, jazz singer Abby Lincoln. The power of their performance can be seen in the radicalization of black revolutionary nationalist Muhammad Ahmed, who, in his work, We Will Return in the Whirlwind, Black Radical Organizations, 1960-1975, explains the political impacts of the work of Roach, Lincoln, and other jazz artists in the late 50s. First was going to see Max Roach and Abby Lincoln present their Freedom Now suite at the National Convention of the NAACP. I had been raised on jazz and had done my homework with Eddie Collier while listening to John Coltrane's Giant Steps. But this was the first time I had heard message music so direct for my generation. The Freedom Now suite immediately raised my political, cultural consciousness. Noted musicologist Dr. F. Ricky Vincent has credited Roach and Lincoln as being among the forerunners of the funk movement in jazz and later black popular music, the funk being the realness, earthiness, and Africanity that fueled dozens of groups from James Brown to Parliament Funkadelic and beyond. Although jazz is a relatively small slice of record or CD sales these days, 2% according to the Recording Industry Association of America for 2006, it's more than classical, but less than children's music for the same period. It has had a powerful and outsized impact on music, politics, and culture. Abby Lincoln, with her moving and memorable contralto, certainly played a leading role in that march, and she will be remembered. Lincoln was 80. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Forgive me if I seem to preach, but there is something that I wanna say, a message that I hope will reach people who are throwing life away. I call it my philosophy. That is why I pass it on to you, because it works so well for me and helps me get away from strife. I hope you listen carefully and say the truth will make you free, and that's the way you wanna be, 'cause brother, this is your life. Long as you live in, always remember, time is for spending, but there's an ending. While you are sleeping, lifetime is creeping. Wake up and taste it, foolish to waste it. Sample and savor all of its flavor, long as you're living.
When Abby Lincoln gave her last breath on the morning of August 14, 2010, she left a legacy that, though obscured by time and ignorance, marks her as one of the most singular black artists of the 20th century. Though it is important to remember Lincoln as one of the truly original jazz vocalists ever, there are few artists who could claim to have been as obsessed with using her art as singer-songwriter, essayist, painter, and actress, as a vessel to explicate the full humanity of herself and the people that she often claimed were inside of her. Born Anna Marie Woolridge in August of 1930 in Chicago, Lincoln came of age at a time when many aspiring artists from that era were profoundly affected by the music of Billie Holiday. Two decades later, Lincoln would be favorably compared to Holiday, though she would struggle throughout much of her early career to escape the shadows of both Holiday and the formidable mythology that had been erected in her name. After apprenticing in various places, including Honolulu and California, where she had initially moved after graduating high school, and taking the name Gabby Lee, Lincoln began to be managed by lyricist Bob Russell. It was Russell who suggested another name change, Abby Lincoln, and who helped Lincoln sign with the noted jazz label Riverside, where she recorded four albums beginning with Abby's Love Affair, A Story of a Girl in Love.
Love walked right in and drove the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day. One magic moment, and my heart seemed to know that love said hello.
That's him. It's magic.
You smile, the song begins. You speak and I hear violins. It's magic.
And Abby is blue. On Lincoln's debut, recorded with the Benny Carter Orchestra, Riverside tried to position Lincoln as a sexy girl next door torch song singer. And it was in that vein that Lincoln appeared in the film The Girl Can't Help It, wearing the same dress that Marilyn Monroe once wore in Gentlemen's Prefer Blondes.
Glory be and hallelujah, spread the gospel, spread the word.
When Lincoln appeared on the cover of Ebony magazine in Monroe's dress, her fate as yet another silent, pretty face seemed assured. But like her contemporary Eartha Kitt, Lincoln had another vision for herself. Living in New York City, Lincoln became professionally acquainted with a group of progressive jazz artists, including drummer Max Roach, who had not only become Lincoln's musical mentor, but her romantic partner. The two married in 1960. The increased influence on Lincoln of musicians like Roach, Sonny Rollins, and songwriter Oscar Brown Jr. can be indexed in the changing style of her albums, culminating in her 1959 classic, Abby is Blue, which released the same year of Holiday's death, featuring legendary side musicians like Philly Joe Jones, Sam Jones, Kenny Dorham, and Wynton Kelly. Abby is Blue finds Lincoln interpreting Mongo Santa Maria's Afro Blue.
And my slumbering fantasy assumes reality until it seems it's not a dream. The two are you and me, shades of delight, cocoa hue, rich as the night, Afro blue.
Kurt Wilde's Lonely House with lyrics by Langston Hughes, Oscar Brown Jr.'s Brother, Where Are You?, and the Duke Ellington classic Come Sunday. Abby is Blue not only served as a tribute to some of the important black songwriters of the era, it also signaled a shift in her art, as she more dutifully linked her music to the broader struggles of blacks globally. Lincoln's transformation began to take place a few years earlier when she literally threw away the Marilyn Monroe dress and was fully articulated with two recordings, 1960's We Insist, Freedom Now with Max Roach, and her own Straight Ahead, which would be her last recording with Roach and the last studio recording for more than a decade. Some of the lasting standouts on Straight Ahead were When Melendi Sings, based on the Paul Laurence Dunbar poem.
Towser, stop that barking, hear me? Manzie, make that child keep still. Can't you hear the echoes calling from the valley to the hill? Let me listen, I can hear it through the brush of angels' wings. Soft and sweet, swing low, sweet chariot, when Melendi sings.
Lincoln would later point Maya Angelou to Dunbar's work as inspiration for I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Left Alone, a Billie Holiday song that she never recorded, but on which Holiday's accompanist, Mal Waldron, appears. And Thelonious Monk's Blue Monk. Monk was in the studio when Lincoln recorded Blue Monk and famously told her, "Don't be so perfect," which Lincoln understood as a reminder that if your voice cracks, it'll give you texture. Straight Ahead established Lincoln as an important artist in her own right. The New York Times offered a rare 3-column review, but also instigated charges by critic Ira Gittler that Lincoln was a professional Negro, using the civil rights movement to further her career. The reality couldn't be further from the truth, as Lincoln sacrificed what was thought to be the prime years of her career, essentially banished from the mainstream because of her willful linking of her art with her radical political beliefs. Lincoln survived the 1960s touring in Europe and eventually catching the eye of independent filmmaker Michael Romer, who cast Lincoln opposite Ivan Dixon in the now classic Nothing But a Man in 1963.
Use the glass, honey. That's what it's for.
Is that so?
Yes. So. What's wrong?
It smells like something crawled up in there and died.
Oh, really? I thought it was pretty good.
Come here, baby. Everything you cook is good.
Doc?
Hmm?
You know those women you used to know?
What about them?
Am I as good as they?
Good coffee.
You didn't answer my question.
Baby, you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
You still didn't answer my question.
Well, if you don't know, I can't tell you.
Lincoln later appeared opposite Sidney Poitier in For the Love of Ivy.
Would you like me to change the music?
No, it's fine. It was a very nice dinner.
Thank you. It isn't hard when you know how.
You learned from your mama.
My grandmother. She brought me up.
I hear that you, I hear you want to split from here. Why? I mean, it looks like a pretty good setup.
Too good. I don't
want to
die here.
You gotta die someplace.
Well, isn't it better if you don't go ignorant and alone?
Much better. Thank you.
I want to go to school, maybe learn to be a secretary. I'd like to meet people.
Where you from?
Florida. You from the West Indies, aren't you?
Yes. You can still hear it, eh?
A little.
Though Lincoln was poised to pursue a full-fledged acting career against Roach's wishes, who wanted a domesticated wife, she found the Hollywood scene difficult to negotiate. In a 1968 Washington Post interview, Lincoln expressed concerns about, quote, doing an imitation of a white woman either as a woman or really as an actress. Lincoln was more direct 5 years later in a Pittsburgh Courier interview when she said that, quote, the scripts that were sent to me were not representative of the people I know and the women I bring to the stage. Lincoln goes on to say in the interview that, quote, the people who have cared for me have always been the ones who were called niggers. The people who are called niggers are the wellspring where I go. When Lincoln sat down once again with the Pittsburgh Courier in 1973, she was in another moment of radical transformation. Her marriage to Roach ended 3 years earlier, and she was living in Los Angeles with her mother. Lincoln recalled old friend Red Fox, then popularly known as television's Fred Sanford, giving her money from time to time when she needed it. She also took on two additional names. The names Aminata Moseka was given to her by Guinean President Sekou Touré and the Minister of Information Zaire, respectively, during a tour of Africa with Miriam Makeba. While traveling in Japan in 1973, she also made her first studio recording in more than a decade, People and Me, the first in which she wrote the lyrics to all of the songs. Recorded with a few of Miles Davis's sidemen and not released in the United States until 1979, the recording laid the foundation for what would be Lincoln's renaissance in the 1980s. By the early 1980s, Lincoln was performing regularly around New York City, primarily with a cadre of young artists, including saxophonist Steve Coleman, pianist James Wideman, both of who appear on 1984's Talking to the Sun.
I'm a world away, it seems, from the one who haunts my dreams. Like the distance that the earth is to the sun. And he holds me in his love, like the light that shines above. And he's everywhere and everything to me. He makes the day begin just like the rising sun. An elemental fellow who gets the job done. He's super and he's super. Oh, and what I wouldn't do for just a smile from the early rising sun.
Sorry, Mrs. Gilliam. We just wanted to know if Bleak can come out.
I understand that. But this noise has got to stop.
Oh, man!
Bleak! Didn't I tell you to tell your hoodlum friends not to come around here?
Jim, leave the boy alone.
Can I go outside now?
When you finish your lesson.
What about then?
Let's see.
Let the boy be a boy. Have some fun.
He could be a bum for all you care. Running the streets with those wild kids.
Almost within walking distance of Forbes Field. He is just 21 years old.
That child's going to drive me up the wall. Go tell him to go home.
Mommy, y'all let me do nothing.
You hear what I said? Go tell him to go home.
When Lincoln appears as the mother of Blake Gilliam, in the Spike Lee film Mo' Better Blues in 1990, she is on the cusp of what would be her most sustained period of recording. Signing with Verve in 1989, Lincoln would record 11 albums over the final 20 years of her life, beginning with The World is Falling Down in 1990. Writing about Lincoln in 1996, New York Times jazz critic Peter Waltrius begins his piece with the simple observation that sometime in the last 20 years, Abby Lincoln came into greatness as a jazz singer. 20 years after she walked away from her music, Lincoln was now a woman at her peak and willing and able to take the kind of aesthetic risk that would mark her as a maverick in her later years. One such moment is her brilliant collaboration with Mavis Staples and the Staples Singers on the track Story of My Father.
Do we kill ourselves on purpose? Is destruction all our own? Are we dying for a reason? Is our living on our own? Are the people suicidal? Did we come this far to die of ourselves? Are we to perish for this useless, worthless life? My father had a kingdom. My father wore a crown. They say he was an awful man. He tried to live it down. My father.
When another New York Times writer profiles Lincoln upon the release of her last recording, Abby Sings Abby, in 2007, most of the stories about her songwriting and how far Lincoln had to travel to be able to write the songs that allowed her the opportunity to tell her own stories. That red Marilyn Monroe dress was long gone, a forgotten trinket of the black woman that Lincoln was and the world that she helped to change 50 years earlier. Abby Sings Abby has the feeling of an artist saying goodbye, not unlike listening to Billie Holiday's Lady in Satin, which poet Fred Moten describes as, quote, the record of a wonderfully articulate body in pain. But unlike Holiday, one doesn't hear pain or trauma in Lincoln's voice, but simply triumph.
That was Mark Anthony Neal, professor of Black popular culture in the Department of African and African American Studies at Duke University.
The music is the magic of a secret world, secret world, a secret world. The music is the magic of a secret world. It's a world that is always within. The music is the magic and the hiding place, the hiding place, the hiding place. The music is the magic and the hiding place. It's a place where the spirit.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.